we are getting into the swing of things with our weekly topics. And as always, you know, we really like to explore lots of different things. And we have a million ideas for lots of future topics. So, you know, we'll see what we come up with. But we like to start every show with a data point, and we have some really good ones today. So I'm excited.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun actually coming up with this topic. And around same Valentine's Day holiday, we were thinking, you know, what could we do that's a little more fun, a little lighter? And as we started brainstorming, we actually came onto something I think that was even more interesting and more insightful than we originally thought. We thought, hey, you know, let's ask something fun. And let's find out how many people ever had an office romance, right? And the first, we saw these numbers and we thought, oh my, they're actually quite higher than we thought. And what's funny is, you know, usually you think about an office romance and it's kind of like, oh, you know, who's with who and, you know, is it appropriate or, you know, should these people be together? And it's kind of, just an interesting topic because there are a lot of different takes on it. And a lot of times, like, I think the initial reaction was kind of even like I said, like, oh, what a surprise. It's, you know, so many people are together. But hold on for this one. What's probably even our bigger surprise is we wanted to ask a follow-up question. We thought, okay, there's a lot of office romance. Well, I wonder where do people meet, right? And so the big question around this is we talk a lot about the hybrid workplace and a lot of people are working from home, working from anywhere, not physically in offices anymore. And so we thought, well, if that many people had office romances, were they just flings or were they something bigger? And now this one, we almost fell out of our chairs when we saw that by far, the most people actually met their significant other in the office, 26%. So more than school, more at a bar, at a family event. Any other place that we could think to ask, actually work was one of the places where people got together the most. And so we started to think about, you know, one of our previous episodes, we talked about employee experience, but not how is that transforming? And we talked about this whole life experience. And this is one of those really interesting byproducts that when companies are really reimagining how people are going to interact, how their workers are going to interact. This was probably one of those big life things and not necessarily work-related things that's probably going to get really disrupted. So if you're not in the office anymore, if you're missing each other, where are you going to meet your significant other? There's this, you know, huge gap. So we were just mulling over the data and just and found it, again, really interesting and really surprising how many people not only found even love in the workplace, but actually ended up marrying that person.
Yeah. And you think about, you know, how much time people spend in the office. And really, that's how, I mean, that's a big chunk of the people that they interact with every day. So it completely makes sense. But there's no kind of corporate sort of response or framework for this kind of stuff, except the negative, except, you know, the HR issues or the problems that might arise from relationships where there's sort of inequality in the hierarchy, you know, those kinds of things. But if you think about it, you spend so much time at work that it's clear that, you know, that's a whole circle of people that you're going to get to know pretty well, especially if you spend, you know, multiple years with them. So not just time of the day at work, hours in the day, but also years of your life. And then, you know, I was thinking about people who relocate for a job. So they don't know anyone potentially in a new city. You know, they're going for a job in the before times when we actually traveled at all. But so, you know, in that scenario, your office mates, your colleagues at work, or maybe your entire social circle, your social network, other than just online, you know, your family and friends that, you know, you keep in touch with. But, you know, these percentages, I bet, become even greater when you factor in some of those kinds of things. So it's just curious to think that we don't, as organizations, pay any attention to that unless there's some sort of negative ramification.
Yeah, absolutely. And so to your point too, when, you know, you mentioned relationships, and so that's in, you know, Maddie and I have this fun luxury that we think about, oh, we wonder, you know, how many people are in a relationship? We wonder how many people are friends. And then we have these cool quick polls where we can quickly sample US workers or workers from other countries and find out what the answer is. It's almost like the modern Google of data. And what we found out too is that we also wanted to say, okay, so now outside of, you know, even taking a step back outside of romantic relationships, how many people have a really good friend that works, at least one? And we see that a lot of people do. So 61% said, yes, I do have a really good friend at work. And this also got me thinking, earlier in the year in January, we ran actually an internal worker survey, a question pro, and we asked a lot of questions around wellness and working from anywhere and engagement and career progress, like all of those different pillars that you imagine are important to the organization. And then we also asked a lot of open-ended questions because at this point that everybody is working from anywhere and we're not seeing each other very much, we did a lot of research around deciding what we wanted to ask. But we wanted to be very conscious that, you know, we don't know what we don't know. So let's give a space for people to give us information, give us feedback, give us ideas for things we might have not thought about. And so, of course, one of our, you know, biggest things that stays top of mind is today we are working from anywhere. Our offices are not open and we want to continue to keep a pulse on how well that's going. But what was really interesting is by and far, almost everyone says, yeah, you know, it's totally cool. I love my freedom working from home or working from somewhere else, but I really miss my colleagues. So can we have like social gatherings? So people were fine not returning and working from the office, but they still wanted to see their colleagues because they miss them. And so in places where we used to have an office that we have a higher concentration of people, now we're brainstorming and saying, hey, could we do like, you know, a happy hour outside somewhere where it's responsible, but for people to actually get together because that's what they're asking for. And then we're also exploring some more online opportunities or classes or social gatherings and in different kinds of ways, because people, again, it was an open-ended question, not prompted at all. And it was incredible how many people asked for this. And so when we saw the relationship data, when we saw the friendship data, all of a sudden we thought, wow, you know, as companies, again, rethink this hybrid working model or whoever they're looking to go back to work, what are some good ways for those individuals that can have an impact on culture, for those individuals that have impact on teams? It's not necessarily employee experience, maybe in a traditional sense, but how do you redefine this whole worker experience to make sure that you're not creating this big gap for people? Because they're saying, I want it. I actually like the people that I work with and I want to spend quality time with them still. So I think that'll be really interesting for us to continue to take a look at as we redefine working models.
Yeah, definitely. I actually have an organization that I work with that we tried to set up a lunch and learn, and it would be, you know, once a month, each department would present on what they do so that the whole organization could learn what everybody else does. And it's a fantastic idea. And we just could not get it off the ground. Like nobody had time to volunteer to present. Like it just wasn't happening. But, and this was all pre-pandemic, of course. And now since the pandemic, there's, lunches, like online, you know, lunches, and there's a regular happy hour, and it's every week. And it just makes me laugh to think that, like, it was like pulling teeth trying to get these things to happen. But once you take them away completely, that's when you realize they actually really, really need these like human relationships, like, you know, human connection as a social connection, not just work related.
Yeah, absolutely. So I see a few people just joined us. So for all of you that are new, welcome to today's episode. Maddie and I are discussing a really fun topic of relationships at work. And we're talking about romantic relationships and how many people had an office romance. We're talking about the more serious romantic relationships and where people met their significant other. And then also friendships and how many people actually feel close to somebody at work and say that they have a really good friend that they work with. And looking at all of that in the scope of as we're redefining the world of work, what kind of role does that play in what we usually or more traditionally used to call employee experience, but now is more and more actually becoming this whole life experience or whole person experience as we play around with the different working models and test ways that people are maybe not physically together as often or maybe ever like they used to be. So really interesting topic again as we discuss the roles that organizations have in people's lives. And what do you study? What do you learn where the changes are happening? And then what is your responsibility as an organization and how you create a certain culture? And what you think about is, well, this is up to me. But then all of a sudden, when people start to have even more options of where they want to work because these physical borders are taken down, I think this whole life experience is going to start to be more and more relevant for organizations to look at, even though, again, the lines of employee experience in a traditional form are going to start to get a little more blurred.
Well, and I think an interesting piece of this is that we know traditionally organizations are comfortable with, you know, the staff retreat or this, even the staff picnic or, you know, the happy committee or, you know, these kinds of things that organize activities. But I feel like there's a space in between, which is more about acknowledging and giving space for relationships, mm-hmm. friendships to happen without it being, you know, you must take part in the, you know, steps competition or you're a loser and you're not part of our, you know, culture, because that's, yeah. there's that whole downside too. Like people don't want forced, you know, partying or whatever, you know, but so it's like a really interesting dichotomy between, you know, forcing these things and then having space for them to happen that's still on the organization side and not just, because we know these things happen, you know, just interpersonally anyway, because we're all humans and we like getting together and talking to each other and hanging out and, and, you know, we like some people and we don't like other people, like that's just normal. But from the organizational side, the ability to bring people together and to kind of find their common interests outside of work, you know, there's got to be something there. And I know in the past, well, still currently, there's a use of, you know, intranets and internal communities where, you know, staff people can find each other in certain ways, like, you know, people who have dogs and want to walk them together, whatever the case might be, you know. But there's just so much more richness to these kinds of human interactions that I feel like it would be really good to find ways to help them along. Maybe particularly when it comes to onboarding and new people, maybe that's what we do it. Because we all know that that enriches the employee experience and therefore has a part to play in how engaged people feel at work, right? And then Gallup, of course, we know has gone the complete, like, down that rabbit hole to say, you know, you have to have a best friend at work, which personally I disagree with. However, you know, they have lots of data to show how important these kinds of friendship relationships are.
Yeah. So, well, and to me, I think everything you're saying, it just like screams an opportunity for innovation, because it's this area that we're not anticipating, I think, maybe how much of a need there would be. I think we're starting to get more and more data to see how much people want that connectedness. And so one of the things that I'm thinking, and it's funny, I'm getting like goosebumps thinking about it, is I worked for Career Builder for a long time, as you know. And so we had this job recommendation engine. And so depending on the things that you put in, it would recommend jobs for you. And so I'm thinking, how cool would it be to start to have a technology where you get recommended a colleague, and because you have a specific interest in mind, and maybe even you can you know, schedule a time together. And it could be, if it's not somebody that's physically close to you, it's a virtual meeting, and it could be a coffee, and it could be during work hours. Or if it is somebody who's close to you, it can make a recommendation to your point, like, hey, you know, maybe every day at 3, you can walk your dogs together, because you get that break. And it's, you know, we're blending, and maybe work hours are becoming more flexible. And so I think I'm getting excited at the thought of how technology could maybe shift the dynamics of our workday and also bring people together in a different way. Because I'm also trying to think about the difference between people who are really extroverted and people who are really introverted, people who are really agreeable, people who are less. And the fact that today we still have a lot of technologies that help us do this, but not everybody is as comfortable. And it could be your personality traits, it could be your age, it could maybe be your gender to some degree. Like, there's so many different factors that play a role in it. But there's such a huge opportunity to be able to connect people in really fun ways. And then also maybe people help people stay connected. Because for me, I mentioned this a few times, I've lived on a few different continents in my life, and I have family and friends on different continents. And so I've become no stranger to using technology, especially this past year, to stay connected with people. But I even think, like, oh, you know, who have I not talked to in a while? Or I'll think of a friend or a family, like, oh, when's the last time I messaged them? And I'll, you know, look through my apps, I'm like, oh, like, it was last September, like, no way. So again, even in that sense, like, there's just so much more that can be done. And I think that organizations that step up and start to think about that will win, because people want it. And in many ways, people are saying, I want, a lot of times when we were in the same office, it was great because we could go to happy hour, we could grab lunch with somebody, but it was with people in the office. So to me, I'm also really excited about this opportunity of making it an equal playing field.
Yeah.
If you don't have a company all in one office, like, right, how cool exactly would it be to, you know, get together with people in other continents and other departments, all mm-hmm. of a sudden that becomes a lot more accessible.
Well, and I was thinking along the same lines, but related to diversity, right? So, you know, what if I, for example, was partnered with a colleague because we both like cooking, but I could teach, or I was partnered with you, so I could teach you how to cook Thai food, and you could teach me how to cook Argentinian food. You know, eat all day, and it would be awesome. But that, you know, interest in cooking is what connects us, even though maybe we have extremely different, you know, cooking methods and styles and, you know, all of that. So it's all maybe a little idealistic, but there's definitely opportunities there that I think just we all need to be thinking about more. And yeah. I do think the pandemic has opened everyone's eyes to how to do some of these things that would just not have come up even in conversation before, because everybody's so used to doing things how they've always been done, you know?
Yeah. I think it's challenged us to be more open, to look at things differently, try different strategies. And now it's just in some ways taking it to the next level. So I would say is maybe as we slowly start to wrap up, like a takeaway for people is, as an individual employee, worker, somebody maybe who misses their colleagues, that probably others do too. So, you know, be the one to reach out, to connect, to organize a group. I think there are a lot of people out there that would be really grateful for that if it's not happening today. And again, I think probably at the beginning of pandemic, it was like the surge of Zoom happy hours, everything. And then it was like the fatigue of Zoom happy hours. And so I'm not saying that's the best thing to do, but I still have a few really dear colleagues that we grab a glass of wine once every few weeks, even from my previous job. And it's fun. It's like one of the highlights of my week to be able to see them. So there's, I think, still opportunities for people to proactively reach out and organize things like that. And then from the organization standpoint, to start to get really creative and innovative maybe in the questions that they ask their workforce. Mm-hmm. Because I think what we discussed today is just the tip of the iceberg. It was just a couple of those questions where like, no way, but that's not it. That's just a couple of surprising questions. Like, how much more is there that people are missing out being in the workplace that organizations can recreate and maybe make even better as they move ahead?
Yeah, exactly. So yay, look at us, we're like right on time. So as always, we welcome your questions, comments, topic ideas. You know, we always start with a data point. So if you want some good data on some burning thing that you're thinking about, you know, let us know, because we will put that in a future Work at Life chat.
Absolutely. And I almost forgot to leave you with a couple of additional resources that we also have prepared. So one is an article from the Harvard Business Review where they highlighted one of the trends shaping the future work, that employers will shift from managing this employee experience to managing the life experience. So I think it's a recurring topic you heard us talk about today, but we have a link to the article here that I think would be nice to read through. And then another one is just, we have a webinar coming up from Question Pro around building a successful hybrid workforce, where we'll talk a little bit more around these specific tactics and strategies and considerations for companies as we think about this whole employee experience and whole life experience moving ahead. So that will be on March 4th. So with that, thank you again so much for joining us. It's always such a pleasure. Thank you, Maddie, for the fun conversation. And we'll see all you all again next week.
Next Tuesday.